Today's Shem Sept in the Dorm Daf Ayin Vav, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amar Aleph, first words Amos Seifa. To review what we learned in the previous Daf, there's a machloikus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. If one has the ability to be made from the Dorm of his wife, of his daughter, before they ever said the Neder. Rabbi Elazar said, yes, they can. And he said a Kal V'Chomer. If you could be made from the Dorim once they were said, you certainly should be able to be made from the Dorim before they were said. Chachamim disagreed. The Gemara in the previous year, the last piece of Gemara, quoted the Chachamim with the Gemara first, let's go review slowly, asked the question and understanding Rabbi Elazar's opinion. What does Rabbi Elazar mean, asked the Gemara, that one could be made from the Neder before it was ever said? Doesn't mean that by making that declaration, the Neder never is effective in the first place? Or doesn't mean that the Neder is effective and immediately becomes null and void? And the Gemara gave a nafgamina if somebody would connect his Neder to that Neder. If the Neder was never effective, so then the second Neder is nothing. If, on the other hand, the first Neder was somewhat effective, even for a brief moment, then that Neder becomes null and void, but the Neder I made connecting myself to that Neder is still an effective Neder, a valid Neder. So the Gemara then quoted a Braisa, quoted a number of Braisa, but we're going to talk the last Braisa. The Gemara quoted the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Elazar, and used the halacha of a mikveh to prove that he was wrong. They said the halacha is as follows. If someone is tamei, we know he goes to the mikveh, he becomes tahar. Yet, the same person, if while he's in the mikveh, touches something that's tamei, he will become tamei. So you see that even though the mikveh has the ability to take off the tumah, it doesn't have the ability to prevent the tumah. Similarly, the Chachamim brought another raya. The halacha is that if someone were to swallow a ring, which is tamei, and then that ring exits the body, it's still tamei. But if somebody swallows a ring that's not tamei, and he enters into a house that has tamei in it, the ring being in his body, the ring won't become tamei. Again, we see that there's an ability to prevent tumma, but there's an ability to preserve tumma, but there's not ability to prevent tumma. So if we follow that line of reasoning, if that's the way the Chachamim are responding to Rebbe Elazar, obviously what are Chachamim saying? You, Rebbe Elazar, hold that the Neder was never effective, that if a man said to his wife, any Neder you make will not be effective. Obviously the Chachamim understood Rebbe Elazar to mean that the Neder was never effective in the first place, and they're saying your line of reasoning is wrong, because you could see that sometimes it's easier to break an existing condition than to prevent an existing condition. In other words, again, let's understand it, the lumdus. Rebbe Elazar is saying that prevention, this is what the doctors say also, that prevention is easier than curing. And that's why it's easier to prevent a Neder from being chal than from breaking a Neder. The mikveh proves to us that that's not a correct concept. Because the mikveh proves to us that it's easier to become tahor than to prevent tumah. The person going into the mikveh will become tahor, but the person in the mikveh who touches a sheretz will become tamei. So your line of reasoning is wrong. But also what we understand by understanding what the Chacham is saying to Rabbi Elazar, that they understand that tumah, that the neder is never effective. That's the first part of the braisa. And now we begin the shir. Amos Seifa. But we find the Chacham have another proof to against Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Honorable Rabbi Elazar, imet bilim keli tamei litar, the halach is, as we just said, if somebody has a keli that's tamei, how does it become tar? By putting it into the mikveh. Yet bilu keli lishiyitma litar, does that mean that, let's say, I have time today, and I'm worried that my keli may become tamei. So I do is I go to the mikveh today, and I put them all into the mikveh, to prevent them, that if they become tamei, that tvila should prevent them from being tamei. Will that work? Of course not. So similarly, say the Rabbanan to Rabbi Elazar, yes, once a person makes a neder, the neder could be broken, But that doesn't mean that you could break a neder before it was ever said. Obviously, what did Rabbanan understanding Reb Elezer now saying? Shema Menachaylin. They're obviously understanding Reb Elezer to mean that the neder is effective, but they could be broken. So now we have contradictory understanding of Reb Elezer. How did Chacham understand Reb Elezer from the two different proofs that they bring? Before we go to the Gemara's answer to that question, so first of all, we don't have an answer to our original question. What is the mechanics according to Reb Elezer? Is the mechanics that the neder is not chal, as it seems from the first part of the Braisa, or are the mechanics that the neder is chal and just falls apart immediately, as it seems from the second part of the Braisa? The Maril Diskin, Rabbi Shulayb Diskin, says that this Gemara is the basis for interesting Psak Halacha. He says, what would be the din? We know that if somebody buys utensils that we eat with from a goy, that were made by a goy, you have to take it to the mikveh. Let's say we have a goy that knows that din, and he wants to provide a service to the Jews. So he's going to have a mikveh in his factory, and all the kalim, while he still owns them, before he sells them, he'll put into the mikveh. Will that work? He says, of course not. Because just like our Gemara says, you can't take a keli to the mikveh before it's tameh and say, I'm putting it on account for when it'll become tameh. So too, until the keli is bought by the Jew, you can't have it go to the mikveh and it should work. This concept is also the basis for a very famous machloikus rishonim, very relevant to Hilchos Pesach. Let's say before Pesach, weeks before Pesach, chametz, we have a chametz ingredient, falls into a mixture of non-chametz product. And it's bottled. You have shishim, you have more than shishim, to be mevatel the chametz. Do we say bittel or not? On one hand, of course we should say bittel. The chametz is bottled in the mixture. On the other hand, says the Mordechai Masechet Pesachim, chametz before Pesach is not chametz. There's no concept of chametz when it's not Pesach. Chametz is a concept left to Pesach. So when does it really become a shaila only? So you can't say bittel before the shaila begins. You only could say when the shaila begins. When does the shaila begin? On Pesach. On Pesach, chametz is not even bottled by mashu. And that's why there are Pesachim, there are Rishonim that say that even if chametz falls into a mixture before Pesach, given that hilchus bittel aren't relevant at that time, because there's no hilchus chametz and not chametz before Pesach, then on Pesach, when we want it to be bottled, then it can't be bottled, because chametz on Pesach is not bottled. But obviously, the Mefarshim asks, I saw this from Rabbi David Pavarsky, he asks a very fundamental question in understanding our entire Gemara. And his question is that in our Gemara, we have a situation where we're trying to compare Hilchus Mikveh to Hilchus Hafara. So he asks, Mikveh, a person is Tameh, he goes to the Mikveh, he has to become Tahar. So that's a reality. You have to be Tameh, and then you become Tahar. How can we compare the reality of going to a Mikveh and immersing yourself to the Mikveh to Hafara? Hafara is not really anything happening. The Torah gave a husband, a father, the ability to be made from the Dorim. It's a chalois. It's like a kinyan. It's like a business transaction, but it's not a reality. So he doesn't understand how the Chachamim take Hilchus Mikvos and compare it to Hilchus Nedarim. And he doesn't answer the question. It's a very fundamental question. So I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman answers the question. He says that really is the machloikis of Reb Elezer and the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim, we look at going to the mikveh, and that's the way Reb Elezer looks at going to the mikveh, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, like washing off something that's dirty. So if I want to wash my hand now when it's clean, because it's going to get dirty in the afternoon, it doesn't really do me any good. Says Reb Elezer, you can't compare Hilchus Mikvos to Hilchus Hafara. Hilchus Mikvos means a person's tameh. It's a spiritual dirtiness. But it's spiritual. And you have to wash yourself off. You can't wash yourself off until you're tameh. The Rabbanan hold, the mikveh is not some sort of a bath. It is a bath. But it's not some sort of a bath that you're cleaning yourself. It's something that happens min hashamayim. And just like if you say a Hafara, that brings that ruach of Afara, that spirit of Afara, can happen before the neder was said. Maybe the spirit of Tahara that the mikveh brings, should be able to come before the Tumah comes. Yet we see that that's not true. And you can't bring the spirit of Tahara until you're actually Tameh. Similarly, say the Rabbanan, you can't bring the spirit of Afara until the Neder was said. But going back to the question, we have contradictory indications from the Rabbanan how they understand what Rabbi Elazar holds. Amri, so the Gemara answers, Rabbanan l'kaim l'hu b'tam de Rabbi Elazar. The same shaila that we had, the Rabbanan had. They didn't really know what Rabbi Elazar holds. V'achi kamerlei. And this is what they said. Ma'i svirilach. How do you, whatever you hold, say the Rabbanan to Rabbi Elazar, we're going to disagree. Isvirilach, if you hold the chaylin u'betaylim, that the nether is effective and then becomes immediately nullified, to have it clear to yuftach. Then the question that we just asked on top of our omid, that you can't, is, proves that that's incorrect. If on the other hand you say that the hafara could create a situation that the nether is not valid in the first place, then the question that was asked at the end of yesterday's shir, to have a mikvah to yuftach, that proves that you're wrong. So Rabbanan, we really, says the Gemara, hedging the bets. And whatever way the Rabbanan hold, whatever Rabbi Elazar holds, they have a question from Hilchas Mikvos that prove Rabbi Elazar wrong. Although, I saw that the Karen Oira has a different approach in understanding our Gemara. Very beautiful approach. He says, let's say, which is actually the fact, we'll learn it in a moment, that in understanding Rabbi Elazar's opinion, again, Rabbi Elazar says, before somebody says, before my wife makes a nether, I can be mefer, and Rabbi Elazar will hold that the nether is not valid at all in the first place. But let's say I tell my wife that this is the way I want to do the hafara. You're going to make the nether will be valid, and then immediately null and void. If I say that that's what I'm trying to do, Rabbi Elazar will hold that I certainly can do. So now, it turns out that according to Rabbi Elazar, there are two ways to be made for a nether before it was said. One is the simple way, by saying it and it creates a situation that the nether was a nether, never a nether in the first place. And the other way is by my telling my wife, you'll make a nether and immediately be null and void. So the Rabbanan, knowing that Rabbi Elazar has these two approaches, these two options, asked the question on both approaches. Toshma, so now the Gemara says, Amalem Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar proves that he's correct from the following halacha. Umaz roim tameim. The halacha is if you have seeds of fruits, of vegetables. If those seeds, they're food. Seeds are food, right? If those seeds become tamei, the halacha is kivin shazor bekarka tarim. If I replant them in the ground, and as the Rishonim say, it's not enough to replant them, they actually have to take root, they become tahor. Certainly, Zruim va'aimdim, the ones that are already planted, like Holshkein. Shmaminov, from here we see that, what is Rabbi Elazar saying? If the seeds that were Tomei can lose their Tumah by being planted, certainly the seeds that are in the ground don't become Tomei in the first place. And that's what Rabbi Elazar is saying is the same by the nether of my wife. If I have the ability, says Rabbi Elazar, to revoke a nether, after she said it, I certainly have the ability to prevent the nether from becoming a nether in the first place. So the shaila that the Gemara asked in the previous shir is now answered. Rabbi Elazar asked the shaila in the previous shir. The Gemara asked the shaila, what is the mechanics? What is the lumdus of Rabbi Elazar? And the Gemara proved that according to Rabbi Elazar, it means that the nether is never effective in the first place. Now, Rabbi Elazar has a great kavachomer. What are Rabbanan going to do with this kavachomer? Ask the Gemara of Rabbanan loy darshi kavachomer. Do the Rabbanan not learn kavachomer? For Tanya, the Gemara says as follows. Yochel yimker odem es bitek shinara. We would think that a father should have the right to sell a daughter when she's still a nara. Amrit kavachomer. So we say a kavachomer to prove that that's wrong. Mechura kvar yoitza. If a girl was sold by a father when she was a ktana, we learned the parashas of the Shpatim, that the father has the right to sell his daughter. But when she becomes a Nara, she's set free. Ain't a Mechura. So this girl who wasn't even sold, ain't a Dinshlai to Makar, certainly her father doesn't have the right to sell her. Now this is a Kavachaymer that the Rabbanan said. Follow this Kavachaymer. That if a daughter who I sold gets freed, certainly it prevents the daughter from being sold in the first place. Similarly by Nedarim, if the neder that my wife made I could be made for, certainly I could be made for it before she said it in the first place. So the Gemara's question now is, that this is a kavachoyim that the Rabbanim themselves say. And if it's a kavachoyim that the Rabbanim themselves say, which proves that they have the same line of logic and line of reasoning as Rebbe Elazar. So why are they arguing with Rebbe Elazar? So Mefarshim asks, the Ran asks, why did the Gemara have to quote a new kavachoyim of Nara? Why did the Gemara quote the kavachoyim that Rebbe Elazar said from the seeds? So the Ran gives two answers. One answer is that the Gemara didn't really know what the Rabbanim's opinion is regarding the seeds. That's why the Gemara didn't want to quote them, that b'raisa. Another pshat is, Rebbe Elazar holds that how do we know it's seeds that are already planted don't become tamei? Because he's learned the kavachaymer. It could well be, says the Ran, that according to the Rabbanon, we don't need a kavachaymer for that. Included in the pasuk that teaches us that seeds that can be that became tamei, if they're planted, become tar, that pasuk also says it, and I don't need a kavachaymer for it, that seeds that are in the ground never become tamei. So they don't hold the kavachaymer, so that's why they had to bring the new kavachaymer. So I saw the Sefer Tiferes Tzion asks a gevaldige kasha. So he asks a gevaldige kasha. He asks, we need the Gemara to bring a proof that the Rabbanon hold of a kavachaymer? The Torah uses the concept of kavachaymer. We all remember that when Miriam became a tzaras, Moshe Rabbeinu said a kavachaymer takadosh baruch hu, that if her father would have embarrassed her, she'd be tamei, certainly, when she went against Hashem. So we see the Torah uses kavachoymer logic. We need to bring a raya from the Rabbanan. So the Tiferes Tzion says a beautiful teretz. He says that kavachoymer is a kavachoymer to prove that we should be stringent. That if we have to treat her strictly when she goes against the father, we certainly have to treat her strictly when she goes against Hashem. But how do we know that we use a kavachoymer to teach us a leniency? We don't have any kavachaymer in the Torah Shebiksav, in the Chumash, that teaches us a leniency. This kavachaymer teaches us a leniency. That not only does the girl who's a nara go free, but the girl who's a nara can't be sold. Which is the same concept that we're trying to teach a leniency. Not only is the woman who made the nether, can the nether be revoked, but the nether can be revoked before she says. We don't have a precedent in the Torah for that kind of a nether. That's why the Gemara had to bring this kavachaymer. The Rishonim asked, if Rebbe Elazar is learning, if the Rabbanan learned Kavachaymer, so why don't we learn Kavachaymer from Mikveh? So the Rishonim answer, Mikveh is a very unique din, the Rabbanan will hold. Either it's Exeris Akasav, the Alochus of Mikveh, or the Rabbanan will hold that Mikveh, since it has this very special din, 40 saw is kosher. We know if a Mikveh is missing even a drop from the 40 saw, it's possible. We go and bring Rais from Hilchus Mikvos. Ramosha, in the Tshuvas, uses this Kavachaymer, a God of Yisrael could do this, to discuss a very interesting Shiloh. The Taz says, we know that if someone passes away, his children become Oidenim. An Oiden is part of all mitzvahs, doesn't daven, doesn't make brachas. What happens if somebody becomes an Oiden on Shabbos? The parent was Nifter on Shabbos. Or right before Shabbos. Shabbos, there's no aninus. Go to shul, make brachas. Now the question is, so this Yosem, who lost his father on Shabbos, and is going to shul, does he say Kaddish or not? Does he say Kaddish or not? The Taz says, he should say Kaddish. He lost a parent. The Shach says, no, he doesn't say Kaddish yet. Why doesn't he say Kaddish? Because he says the purpose of Kaddish is that if somebody lost a close relative and his parent may be in Gehenna, Kaddish is the way to, so to speak, help him have a kapara to go out of Gehenna. But before Kfura, there is no din in Shemayim and nobody's in Gehenna yet. So the Tshach says, don't say Kaddish. Says Ramosha, our Gemara is a proof to the Taz's opinion. What does the Taz say, says Ramosha? If someone is already in Gehenna, it's not that easy to get out of Gehenna. The Kaddish, to schlep him out of Gehenna. Certainly the parent who didn't have yet his din, by his children saying Kaddish and doing mitzvahs on his behalf, can prevent him from going to Gehenna in the first place. Therefore, says Reb Moshe, that Kaddish should be said under those circumstances. He even suggests that it's not that the Shach disagrees with the Taz. He says the Shach is only disagreeing with one word that the Taz says. The Taz says, Chayiv Loimer Kaddish. He's obligated. So he says the Shach doesn't like that word, Chayiv. You don't have to say Chayiv. But the Shach, Reb Moshe says, would agree that you may say Kaddish. However, there are achroidim that say that according to the Shach, Kaddish should not be said. Reb Moshe says that he holds Kaddish should be said. He quotes his father, who said that also. The Sefer Gesher Chaim, a fundamental Sefer in Hilchos Aveilus, says that Kaddish should be said, but in olden times, the way it worked in the shuls was that they didn't let more than one person say Kaddish at a time. So the Gesher Chaim says if you have somebody who is a real Chiyuv, who's after the Kfura, and you have this person who's before the Kfura, the person who is a real Chiyuv takes precedent over this person who's only an Oinim. So now the question, again, back to our sugya, is why did the Rabbanan not hold of the Kavachomer? That they should, and based on that Kavachomer, a husband, a father, should have the ability to be made for the Ned before it was said. Says the Gemara, in Baal Madarshu Kavachomer, typically the Rabbanan will hold of a Kavachomer. Vashani Hochad Amakra, here there's an explicit pasuk, as the Mishnah quoted in the previous year. The pasuk says, Ishi command of Ishi Yifarena. Eshebala Klal Hekem Bala Klal Hefer. Only the Dharm that can be confirmed can be revoked. Eshloi Bala Klal Hokem, Loi Bala Klal Hefer. The nether that can't be confirmed can't be revoked. Everybody agrees that a nether that wasn't said can't be confirmed. And therefore the Rabbanan said, just like it can't be confirmed, it can't be revoked. So now the Rishonim asked the obvious question. If the basis of the Rabbanan's opinion is this hekish that the Gemara just quoted, which was really quoted in the Mishnah, so why are they bringing mikvahs and all sorts of rayas? It's a hekish. And that should be the reason. That's all they should have said to Reb Elezer. Why are they bringing all sorts of dinim from Hilchas Mikvahs? So the Rajba, it's a Rajba, says it's a papula ba'alma. They didn't really have to say it. All they really had to say was the Hekesh. They just wanted to be Lamdonim. The Mitzvah Eisen says in Teretz like this. He says, we have another question. What's Reb Elezer going to do with this Hekesh? Reb Elezer is saying that you can be Mefer before the Neder was said. We have a Hekesh that clearly compares Hafar to Hakama. And Hakama certainly can't be done until the Neder was articulated. Says the Mitzvah Eisen. Reb Elezer is going to hold that we use this hekesh to teach us other halachas. So that's why the Rabbanan had to bring other rayas to refute Reb Elezer. Because he's saying to Reb Elezer is going to say to them, the hekesh? I need the hekesh to teach me other halachas. And my din is still correct. That's why they brought the raya for a mikvah that he's incorrect. The Ran gives a third teretz. The Ran says as follows. Yes, we have a hekesh. We have a hekesh. But we also have a Kavachomer that says that the husband should be able to be Mefer before the Neder was said. So now the question is, which is stronger, the Hekesh or the Kavachomer? Say the Rabbanan Hilchas Mikvahs will teach us that a Hekesh or a Pasuk is stronger than a Kavachomer. Because certainly one should be able to argue, going back to what was learned at the end of the yesterday's shiur, that if somebody is in the mikvah already, he should become Tameh. Yet why does he become Tameh? Because that's what the Torah said. So you see that a Pasuk, a Hekesh, is strong, or a Gzeris HaKasif, is stronger than logic. And that's what the Rabbanan telling to Reb Elezer. Even if you could logically argue that a Fara should be able to take place prior to the Neder being said, logically you may be right. But when we have a Hekesh, there is no logic. We've been discussing the concept of Yom Shamay, that a husband, a father, can only be made for the Neder on Yom Shamay. And now the Mishnah and the Gemara we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, teach us what is Yom Shamay. Says the Mishnah, Hafarash the Darim Kol HaYom. You can only be made for the Neder on the day that the Neder was said. On the Neder, is heard by the husband or father. Yesh B'Dov Al-Hakal Al-Hachmer. So the way to Rishonim explain these words, Yesh B'Dov Al-Hakal Al-Hachmer, is as follows. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, They say not to learn it this way. We're going to learn the Gemara. We're going to learn the Mishnah first. That means you only have until the night to be mefer. And if you heard another 5 minutes before night, you only have 5 minutes to be mefer. The Gemara is going to quote another opinion that you always get 24 hours. You always get a meis leis. So one would suggest that the Mishnah is teaching us, following this opinion that you only have till the end of the day, sometimes could bring a kula and sometimes could bring a chumrah. But that's not true. How could you ever suggest that the opinion that holds 24 hours is machmer more than the opinion that holds that you only have till the end of the day? And because of that kasha, they explains the words yesh b'davar l'hak l'hachmer this way. Sometimes you'll have more time, and sometimes you'll have less time. What will it depend on? When the nether was said. And that's what the Mishnah says. Ketzad. Nadr b'leil Shabbos. If a woman makes a nether Friday night, yofa b'leil Shabbos, the husband has the right to be made for the nether all Friday night, or b'yoyim Shabbos ad shetachshach, and all Shabbos until it becomes night. However, in nadr b'chashecha, if a woman makes a nether 5 minutes before the zman, then may fa'achal etachshach, she only can be made for until night. Shimchashke v'loy hefer, if it becomes night, any yachal hafer, it's too late to be mefer. So the Rishayim ask, why when the Gemara Mishnah wants to teach us this din, does it use Shabbos as the example? And what about during the week? So I saw four terutzim to this question. One terutz is, the Ran's terutz, which we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow. We would think that our first Nadar may not take place on Shabbos. Be mefer, don't do it on Shabbos. And we'll explain why we should suggest that a farah may not take place on Shabbos. Teaches us the Mishnah, since you only have till Matzah Shabbos to be mefer, and once Matzah Shabbos comes, you can't be mefer anymore. That's why you have to be mefer, you're allowed to be mefer even on Shabbos. That's the din the Mishnah is teaching us. The Mefarish answers this way. We know, as far as Hilcha Shabbos is concerned, how does the Jewish day go? First the night, and then the day. And that's the way it usually is in the Jewish halacha. There are exceptions. In Kachim, the night follows the day. Says the Mishnah, when we're talking about a day, how do we look at a day? Night and then day, or day and then night? So the Mishnah says, just like by Shabbos, it's night and then day, by Nedarim, it's the same way. A third teretz is, let's say we have a person that keeps Shabbos long. He's not in a rush to leave Shabbos. So he doesn't daven Ma'ariv Shabbos till very late. When do we consider the day over? By the Zman, or when he davens Ma'ariv? Teaches us the Mishnah Atcha Techshech. You can keep Shabbos long, but the day is over by the Zman. A fourth teretz, very interesting teretz that the Shalmei Nedarim gives, is that, what kind of a neder is being said here? A woman makes a neder that she's not going to eat a certain food. Her husband has a right to be mefer, that neder. But let's say a woman makes a neder, she's not going to eat cholent. She's not going to eat cholent. So to her, the food should become muksa. So then when her husband is made for it, it shouldn't be effective. The food already became muksa for her, because when Shabbos began, she had a nether that she's not to eat the food. Teaches us the Mishnah, based on the Gemara that we learned earlier. Kol anoderes, al das balahi noderes. Whoever makes a nether knowing that a husband can be made for it, and that's why it never becomes muksa in the first place. The Rishash asks the following question. He says that we're going to learn in the Gemara that Hafara, if you follow the opinion that you go to the end of the day, sometimes we could have a kula. Why? Because if a neder was made on Shabbos, as we learned earlier, you have to be made till Matzah Shabbos, otherwise the time expires. If you have 24 hours and the neder was made Shabbos morning, then you don't have to be made for, you have time till Sunday morning. Don't be made for in Shabbos, be made for after Shabbos. So why doesn't the Gemara say that there is a kula following the opinion of going till the end of the day versus following the opinion of 24 hours? Because the opinion of 24 hours tells you can't be made for in Shabbos. The opinion that says till Matzah Shabbos says you can be made for in Shabbos. So Rishash answers, there are times even the opinion that holds 24 hours will allow you to be made for in Shabbos. Let's say a woman was made a neder an hour before Shabbos. And the clock starts ticking for 24 hours. So now, when does the nether have to be mufer? By Shabbos afternoon. Even if you hold 24 hours. So since not in all circumstances will 24 hours in that represent the chumrah, that couldn't be pshat in the Mishnah.
The Ragachover says a very interesting psak. The Ragachover says, a Yerushalmi. He says as follows. He says, what happens if a person hears his wife's nether, and he's not made for it immediately, and then he loses the ability to speak, and then he gets it back? So he says, if you follow the opinion of 24 hours, then the time that he couldn't speak is deducted, and he gets that time to make up. If you follow the opinion of Acha Techshach, by Matzoi Shabbos, or by the end of the day, it's too late. But on the other hand, he says, the Yerushalmi holds, that if you follow the opinion that we go to the end of the day, if at the end of the day, we quoted this Yerushalmi already, the person couldn't be mefer, even though he could be mefer all day, just at the end of the day he couldn't, that's the defining moment. According to the Yerushalmi, he gets another day, which would not be the din with 24 hours. Rav Shlomo Zalman asks a very interesting short question, which could happen. Let's say a man, a husband and a wife, father and a daughter, are not in the same time zone. So whose time zone do you follow? Do you follow the time zone of the wife, of the daughter, the one making the nether? Or you follow the time zone of the one who's being made for the nether? In other words, let's say the wife is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's already Matzoi Shabbos. But the husband is in America. In America, it's still Shabbos. And that's the Yom Shammai. Could he be made for the nether still or not? So if some Zalman says you follow the time zone of the husband, of the father, one being made for the nether. Now there's an interesting Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega discusses the following question. He says, let's say a woman made a nether Bein HaShmashas. Now we know Bein HaShmashas is a time that we don't know if it's Yom or Laila. Why are we not concerned, says Rabbi Kivega, that the moment she made the nether was still day, and when I'm the husband being made for the nether, it's already night? Says Rabbi Kivega, that if the husband, the father, are immediately made for the nether, he says a very interesting halacha. He says, what would be the din if a woman made a nether the last minute of the day, and the husband heard it? By the time he heard it, it can be made if it's ready the next day. Is that past Yom Shammai or not? He said, that's not considered past Yom Shammai. Because if I didn't have a time to articulate the afara, then I get the next day as my Yom Shammai. So he says, if somebody was made for the nether, Bein HaShmashas, Tarkadei Dibur, it's no different, he says, that if the woman made a nether a minute before the Zman, and I was made for right after the Zman. But what will be the din, asks Rabbi Kivega, if you didn't wait Tarkadei Dibur? Kivega says the following, interesting Shaila. Kivega says, let's say the woman made a nether, Bein HaShmashas, let's say, is 15 minutes long. She made a nether at the beginning of Bein HaShmashas. The husband waited a couple of minutes, and then he's made for. Why should we not be concerned, says Rabbi Kivega, that when she made the nether, it was still day, and he heard the nether today, but by the time he's being made for it, it's already night. It's too late. So he says there's a svek sveika to be makel. Why is there a svek sveika to be makel? Because first of all, maybe now is still day, when I'm coming to be made for. And even if it's not day, maybe when she made the nether, it was already night. He asks that we don't rely on a svek sveika by dovah sheish lebetirim. And why should we rely on the Sasek? Let it just go to the Rav and have the nether annulled. He says, when a husband wants to be made for Hataras the Dharma, annulling the nether by a Rav is not an option. And that's why we can rely on the Sasek Sveikam. But Rikivega uses this concept to teach us a very important din. He even asks, he doesn't know why this din is not in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, we know that when you have a two-day Yontif, you're not going to prepare for one day Yontif for the next. So if I'm cooking on the first day Yontif, I'm only allowed to cook for food that I need on the first day Yontif. He says, let's say I want to cook Bein HaShmashas. He says, let's say I want to put on a candle Bein HaShmashas. I shouldn't be allowed to. He says, because maybe I'm putting it on in this moment, and I'm preparing it for the next moment, which is ready the next day. And it will be issue of Achana. Here, he says, you can't rely on a Svek Sveika. Because I could have waited to the next day to put on the candle. And therefore, Kivega says that no one should do any melacha d'oraisa, any melacha during the period of Bein HaShmashas, that there's always a concern that you're preparing for the next day, because one moment may be today, and the next moment may be tomorrow. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Hafaras Nadarim Kol HaYoyim. Hafaras Nadarim is all day. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon Omer, Meisleis. You get a 24-hour period. Ask the Gemara, my time in the Tanakhama, which is the opinion of our Mishnah, Amakra B'Yoyim Shammai. You only have that day. Rabbanan my tamayu, that they say you get 24 hours, says the Gemara d'ksiv miyoyim el yoyim, which means a 24-hour period. Ask the Gemara or Tanakama. The Pasuk does say, Haksima Yoim El Yoim. So why are they not agreeing that it's a 24-hour period? Answers the Gemara. It's true. Dibi Yoim Shamai. If I only had the Pasuk of Yoim Shamai, have a mina b'yimami in b'layla loy. And there are two ways of understanding this Gemara. One would think that Yoim Shamai only allows me to be made from the Dorm during the day. That's one pshat. Or another pshat is that the Pasuk means that the Dorm that was set at night, you only can be made for at night. And the next day is already too late. Ksib me Yoim El Yoim. That you have the next day also. Ask the Gemara, Ulaman Dama, that uses the Pasuk, Meyoim El Yoim, Haksib Yoim Shamai. The Pasuk does say Meyoim Shamai. So how does he expand it to 24 hours? Answers the Gemara, Itzrich. Diksib Meyoim El Yoim. If the Pasuk only said Yoim El Yoim, Ham Mina Bechad Beshabbat L'chad Beshabbat. Maybe the Pasuk doesn't mean a day. Maybe the Pasuk means a week. And the Pasuk is saying that if a woman said a nether on Sunday, the husband has till the next week Sunday to be made for the nether. That's why that you only have that day, but according to them it means a 24-hour period. The Chassam Sofer uses this Gemara also la halacha l'maisa. We know, he says the halacha is, that a child, if he passes away before he was 30 days old, rachmona litzlan, is considered a nefil, and there are no hilchas avelis. If the child, on the other hand, dies after 30 days, then Avelis has to be held. What would happen, a child was asked at Chassam Sofer, where a child, Rachman Islam, passed away, but it was the 30th day, but it wasn't yet 30 24-hour periods. It was the 30th day, but there weren't 30 24-hour periods from when the child is born. Is it considered that he already died past the 30 days and his family has to be mis'abel or not? Says the Chassam Sofer. Then what does Al Gemara teach us? Al Gemara teaches us, says the Chassam Sofer, that only in this specific case does the Torah use the words Miyoyim El Yoyim, that it means 24-hour period, according to one Tana. But everybody else holds that it's not 24-hour period. And certainly, where there is no halachic basis to say that it means more than 24-hour periods, we say the day is as soon as the day begins. And therefore, he says, L'halocha L'maisa. It should never be a shaila like this. That if a child was died on the 30th day, even though we have a rule, hilchasa kemekel ba'ovel, we always follow the more lenient opinion, here shiva will have to be, avails will have to be held. Says the Gemara, Amr b'shimim pazi, Amr b'shubim levi, and halacha kaisazog. The halacha does not follow the opinion that we follow a 24-hour period, rather we follow yom shamay until night. Says the Gemara, levi sovel meved kani tonight. Levi wanted to act according to these Tanoim that say it's 24 hours. Amalei Rav, Hocha Amma Chavivi, and Aloch Kaisazug. The Aloch does not follow that opinion. They have only Yoim Shammai. Says the Gemara, Chiba Rav, Shadi Giri, Ubadik, Rav Babakana, Yosef Akon. And there are two Pshatim in this line of the Gemara. The Ram says that this piece of Gemara has no connection to the previous piece of Gemara. And he says the following. There is a Shaila. We know that when a person comes to Rav to have the nether annulled, the Rav can find the Pesach, starts discussing the circumstances. The question is, let's say the person comes in and says, I'm a mischaret, I regret making the nether. Is that acceptable? Says the Ran, that's what the Gemara is teaching us. That telling the Rav that I regret making the nether is sufficient. And therefore the Gemara says, Chiba Rav Shadigeri. Somebody came to Chiba Rav to have his nether annulled, and he was shooting arrows. He didn't have to concentrate, because it doesn't require much concentration just to hear a person say, I regret making the nether. Rav Achiyav Yosef Akim, he was sitting or standing. Again, he didn't do anything that required concentration, because accepting that I regret is enough. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. But the problem with the Ran's pshat is it has no connection to our sugya. So the Rosh has a different pshat. He says that this Gemara is teaching us that these people followed the opinion that we had in Eis Leis. So a husband, a father, became aware that their wife, their daughter, made a nether. And they had every intention of revoking the nether. But they were somewhat upset that their wife or their daughter made a nether. They felt it was unacceptable behavior. And they wanted to prevent them from making them, from doing it again. How did they want to prevent them? Not to not be made for until the last minute. And that got the wife nervous that she's going to be stuck with the nether. The daughter nervous she's going to be stuck with the nether. And that's how he prevented the nether. So, but they had a problem. They didn't have watches to know when it was 24 hours. Says the Gemara, Chiba Rav, Shadi Giri Bodik. He used to shoot an arrow. They used to have a sundial. A sundial. And he made an arrow in the wall to know when the 24 hours would be over. So he could be made for right before the 24 hours are over. Rabbi Chana Yosef Akoyim, he stood and saw where the shadow was. Again, that was one of the ways they were able to tell time. All for the purpose of being made for before the 24 hours are up, but right at the end of the 24-hour period to teach their family members not to be lax in making the dark.
For any time.